if you will. I trust you'll pray for my throat. The last 3 hours, I have really been wrestling with allergies, and I've been taking some medicine for it. And I've been talking to Brother Jared. I said, what in God's name do you do when your throats are swelling up on you and you feel like you're gagging on your slobber? He said, first thing, put your cold water down. It's closing your throat up. I said, no wonder I'm sitting here about to have a panic attack. And so thank you, Brother Tim, and you guys that get us water, and I appreciate that. And so I got me a bottle of lukewarm water. I told Brother Jerris I've been preaching 25 years, and here you are, young whippersnapper, telling me what I need to do for my throat. I should have known that a long time ago. Daddy, why didn't you tell me that? But anyway, I appreciate my dad being here, and I had to bring him this time because Brother Shaddix told me, he said, if you don't bring your daddy back, you ain't welcome. You know, it is funny, but the bad thing about it is he meant it, you know. But I love my dad, Brother Sheila, and Brother Mike. Y'all just precious. And I could say that all of you. I know all of you, but I ain't going to get into that. I want to share a thought with you and a burden that God's put on my heart. And I really be honest with you. I feel like the devil's really fighting me because I've been carrying this for 3 days. 3 days I've been carrying this. I want to read one verse of Scripture. It's all I'm going to read, verse number 10 of Nehemiah chapter 4. Just one verse. I'm going to give you my thought, and then we'll try to share a few things with you. Verse number 10, Nehemiah 4, the Bible says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. I want to read it again. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. I want to preach a message tonight on this thought. Can it ever be like it was? You can be seated tonight. Now that I've gave you the thought that I'm on tonight, it's in question form. Can it ever be like it was? I'm going to go ahead and answer it for you in the beginning. No. Kind of shocking, ain't it? No. God's not in the business of duplicating things. God allowed that wall to be torn down just to put it plain and simple because that wall wasn't good enough no more. A lot of times we are wanting to build back exactly what we had when what we had wasn't good enough or it would have stood up to begin with. So if you're looking into your life and you're wondering if it can ever be like it was, forget it. It can be better than it ever was. God wants to do a work in our life. And He wants to use all of us in the process. In this story, you know what's going on. They'd been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Some of them had come back out of exile and came back to Jerusalem. They had surveyed what has taken place. A group of them got together and said, hey, somebody needs to go tell Nehemiah about what's going on here. In chapter 1, we know that they came and they shared with Nehemiah what the condition of Jerusalem was. They told him the situation that was at hand. Yet, not everybody was ready to get out of Babylon. Some of them stayed there during that 70 years and were allowed to build homes and houses and made themselves quite comfortable. They was already used to not being in their homeland where God would have them be. And the psalmist said that they couldn't sing their song in a strange land, so they hung their harps on a willow tree. They done got used to hanging their harp on the willow tree and was satisfied with being in Babylon. Not all of them was interested in going back to Jerusalem. Can I tell you tonight, there's a lot of people that's been taken captive by the Babylonians. And not everybody's interested in getting back to Jerusalem. They just want to talk about the mess that Jerusalem is in while they're living in Babylon. They don't want to come back to Jerusalem and help rebuild the walls. They want to stay in exile and point the finger and think about how it used to be. And on their mind, they're saying, it'll never be like it was. You're exactly right. God don't want it to be like it was. Because the way it was wasn't working. So tonight, I hope you get my message. I might not be able to preach it hard because my throat. Maybe God has got my throat in a mess tonight so y'all understand me a little better. And I won't get carried away up here. I'll just try to get it out so you can hear it. In life, we wonder. Some of y'all probably already thinking about what you've went through in your life. Jeremiah tried to warn them. The prophets of God, Brother David, was telling them, Brother Mac, y'all better straighten up or you're going to be in trouble. They wouldn't pay them no attention. They just hushed up. So what happened? Their walls got tore down. They got took captive. That's exactly what happened. Jeremiah tried to tell them what was going to happen, but they didn't pay him no mind, didn't pay him no attention. And so there they was in a mess in Babylon coming back now, and they're wondering, will it ever be like it used to be? I want to share with you two or three things by way of introduction about what's going on here. The condition of their life as they come back. We all know that Nehemiah jumps on the scene, am I right? If you look in the maps, you'll find, I don't look at them much, but I have looked at them. If you look at the maps, Nehemiah had traveled nearly 1,000 miles by either donkey or camel to get to from Shushan, the palace, all the way to Jerusalem. Nearly 1,000 miles Nehemiah traveled. After he had got the word that Jerusalem lieth waste and they were a reproach to everybody that looked around. The first thing that Nehemiah done when he heard the news, y'all know what he done in chapter number 1? Says that he bowed down to the God of heaven and he started praying on behalf of the people of God. And he made himself, and all through chapter number 1 in his prayer, he's including himself among the number of the people of God. And he said, Lord, forgive us of our sins. And he was asking God to forgive them of their transgression and their rebellion. You see, the name Nehemiah is very significant in this story. Y'all hold on with me. You're going to get something, Lord willing, here in a little while. Might take me a bit. But the name Nehemiah means comforter. In typology, you can follow Nehemiah as a picture of the Holy Ghost. And we do see him in chapter number 1 as the one making intercession for the people of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 26 says that he makes intercession for the saints.
with groanings when we can't even utter. He's praying for us when we don't even know how to pray or we can't pray. So they got the Comforter's prayer. Then the second thing they got the Comforter's presence. The Comforter, when he found out about it, he ran to the rescue. He didn't get there in a real fast way because they didn't have Chevrolets back then. He probably drove a Ford, I'd say. But it took him a while. Aren't you glad that when the Holy Ghost is aware of my current condition and how that there's much rubbish in my life and my walls have been torn down, aren't you glad that He will come and be a part of what's going on in your life and grace you with His presence? So, we see they had the Comforter's prayer. They had the Comforter's presence. But then they had the Comforter's participation. Nehemiah, and I could read all of this, but I'm not going to for the sake of time. Nehemiah didn't just show them what they needed to do. Nehemiah just didn't tell them what they needed to do. Nehemiah got in on the work himself. Let me go on and tell you tonight, if you're in a situation and it looks like things ain't never going to be like they was and your heart is broken, friend, I want to tell you one that'll get in there with you and he'll help you. There's a lot of people that'll tell you what you ought to do, but there ain't many people that'll get in the ditch with you and help you get your problem right. Thank God we got one, hallelujah, that'll come to our aid and he'll get in the ditch and help us get ourselves out. Nehemiah's participation. Nehemiah's presence. They had Nehemiah's prayer. But then they had Nehemiah's plan. You see, the people of God there, they didn't know what to do. If they had a brother Jed, they'd have went and done it. You say, how you know that? Ain't that the way we are? If we know what we're going to do, we ain't going to ask nobody. We ain't going to talk to God about it if we know. They didn't know what to do. That just shows you why. They went to Nehemiah. They needed some help. And let me go and call a time out for a minute. The only reason this crowd got any help to begin with is because somebody saw the mess that the country was in and somebody went to the king's palace and got in touch with Nehemiah. I'm going to tell you tonight, we need some people that are getting in touch with the Holy Ghost. That's who Nehemiah is, and get him on the scene in our churches. The reason there's a lot of rubbish laying around in our lives and our walls is torn down is because somebody ain't been to the king's house and got a hold of the Comforter and tell him what's going on in our lives. It's a problem we got. We'd rather sit around and talk about how it used to be. Some of y'all in here, you're older. And y'all saw a lot of things down through the years. I'm a young man. I ain't near as old as I look. I think I look good for 25. Pastor Bad Church been rough on me. I've heard about the days gone by. I've read the biography of Billy Sunday, J. Wilbur Chapman, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, D.L. Moody. I've read about Dr. Percy Ray. Brother Ken's been reading his book. I've read about B.R. Lakin, Dr. R.G. Lee, J. Harold Smith. I've read their biographies. I've read the biographies of Harold B. Seitler, Mays Jackson. I've heard about the glory that them men was a part of. I've heard about it. Last night, as we was fellowshipping down there at the cabin, we was listening to some preaching. Brother Ken, so I want y'all to listen to this. And Dr. Percy Ray was preaching a message. It was one of his last sermons that he ever preached. And he says, I wish that I'd have been there, but I was there. And I got to thinking how God used that old man, and unusual things happened in his life. From the time in the beginning of Camp Zion down in Myrtle, Mississippi, if you ought to read the biography and find out what God done to one man, strange things, friend. When you just go out to the barn and grab a shovel and start digging a ditch because God gave you a vision, you ain't even got no money to do it, and God sends a man from five or six states over that's got a lot of money and says, I just want you to get in your truck and ride until I point a man out to you he's going to be having a shovel. Won't you give him some money? And that's how Percy ran. Here comes a man, didn't know him, said, God told me to drive down here and give you that. Strange things are happening, friend. Why? It's because somebody had went to the king's palace and got a hold of Nehemiah. But I got to stop and say this. I'm tired of hearing how it used to be. I don't want to know how you... I know. Thank God for how it used to be. And some of y'all are wondering if it can ever be like it was. God don't want it to be like it was no more. I'm waiting and looking for God to get some people and to build up a wall for the glory of God.
Well, I'm on it. Some of y'all thinking, will my church ever be like it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been here when y'all was hanging from the chandeliers. I've been coming down here now, Brother Ken, I think, ever since our preacher hooked us up about 9 or 10 years ago every year. We've been in some holy services down here. I'm talking about the power of God. Some of y'all, it's kind of solemn, ain't it? So, oh yeah, we're just going to get real kind of soft. Some of y'all thinking, well, it just ain't like it used to be. Won't you just quit worrying about how it used to be? God don't want it to be like it used to be. God's got something great for you. Why don't you just grab a trowel and a shovel and get your sword out and get on the wall? We need some wall builders. We need some people that will get involved and stop thinking about how it used to be and start thinking about how God wants it to be. Brother Brad Tybert, I'm going to tell you right now what I think. I ain't an old man of God by no means. I just lick it. But I've been around it long enough, I think, to make this statement. Brother Ken, I think you'll agree. The biggest problem among the independent Baptist churches of our day is we as men of God are more focused on how it used to be. We're preaching way it used to be instead of the way God wants it to be. And we're stuck in the rubbish. And that's why we're so busy thinking about how it used to be instead of building something that God wants it to be. You hear out of most of us preachers, well, I remember when. And during all this, you got three things you're trying to fight off. You see, there was three guys that was really giving them a hard time. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Y'all know all this, don't you? Yeah, you know the story. I done a study on their names. So while these people was wondering if it could ever be like it used to be, they fighting these three amigos that keep sending letters to them. And so they just trying to build back for the glory of God. They tired of being in captivity. Some of them don't care. They just soon stay in Babylon and talk about everybody else that's down there trying to do something for God. They just soon be captive. They ain't going to do nothing. They just going to run their mouth about everybody else that's trying to do something. I'm still in the Bible. And I ain't running no rabbits. I'm still in it. Y'all with me? One of them's name means alone. The other one's name means apathy. And another one's name means angry. So, they fight in loneliness. They feel like they're all alone. Boy, howdy. Then one of them's fighting anger. He keeps sending them letters all the time, making them mad. And then the other one's apathy, which means the spirit of, I ain't doing nothing. The whole time we sitting in our churches, wondering if it'll ever be like it was. Some of you's mad. Some of you's feeling lonely. And some of you's got the spirit of apathy on you, and you ain't going to do a thing. Oh, you might come to church, but as far as getting right with God, you ain't going to do that. You see, there's a lot of people. You'll even find out. Read on in there tonight. You'll find out in reading the book of Nehemiah, there's a lot of them that done the work and got involved and got on the wall, but they wasn't right with God. There's a lot of people that be a part, but they're fighting that anger and they're fighting that apathy and they're fighting that, I'm all by myself and ain't nobody doing it but me. And every time they're about to do something, they'd get a letter. Now we just get a text. By the way, my daddy's 76 years old and can text about as good as any 16-year-old girl. And he could do it with an old flip-flop like nobody's business. And he ain't got but a half a thumb on one hand, and he's good. If you need to know how to text, daddy will have classes shortly after service tonight. So here they was wondering, can it ever be like it was? There's a lot of church fights. People get upset because they want their church to be like it used to be. Well, it ain't like it was back yonder when so-and-so was a pastor around here. Well, good. God didn't want it that way. Can our love for Jesus ever be like it used to be? What about our marriages? You think about your marriage? Can a marriage? My wife, we first got married. I worked third. She worked first cutting hair. And she'd leave me these little sticky notes in the bathroom. Said, honey, I love you. And she did. And I think she still does. She just don't like me. That's just what happens over time, you know. And it'd been years until the Holy Ghost inspired me to say something about it about a month or two ago in a sermon. He does that every now and then. I reminded my wife that I used to love getting them. And lo and behold, she was going to steer Mom and Daddy for a night or two down at the coast. And I come in from the shop, and there on the back door, I come in and says, honey, I love you. And that was my sticky note. There's a lot of people been through a lot of junk in their marriage. Kids suffer the most. Ain't no perfect marriage. Ain't never been no perfect marriage. And if you think your marriage is perfect, how about writing a book so we can all read it? If you've got all the answers for all of us that are struggling, and if you women don't struggle to live with that man, there's something wrong with you. If you men ain't struggling to live with that woman, I say this very reverentially, there's something wrong with you. Do you remember how it used to be when you first got married? Them goo-goo eyes and that feeling? But over years and time, things happen. Things are said. Sometimes it's major bad. Sometimes it's not bad. Feelings get hurt. Emotional roller coasters. We get older. Some of us men get fat. Some of us women, y'all women, not us. Some of you women, you get gray hair. I know you didn't wake up like that. I know it's quiet right now, and I'm not going too far with that. But then we look at each other over time and we say, you know, I just don't know who you are. And so now, the reason people don't stay together is because they say, you know, it just ain't like it used to be. God don't want it the way it used to be. You say, well, there's a bunch of rubbish laying around. It's a mess around my life. Well, why don't you go tell Nehemiah about it? And why don't you rally the troops and start picking up the broken pieces and put you all back together again?
Matter of fact, the wall, when it was done, was better in 52 days than it was originally. In the end, I was reading today about Nehemiah's wall. That wall was over 2.5 miles long, nearly 40 feet high. Now listen now. And over 8 foot thick. Let me say it again. We're talking rocks now. 2.5 mile long wall, nearly 40 foot high. This right here ain't even 30 foot. Nearly 40 foot high and over 8 foot wide. You could ride a chariot on the top of it. Had 32 watchtowers on top. Now, it don't say nothing about the old wall having any watchtowers, but buddy, when they rebuilt and got things back right, they put some watchtowers up there so they could keep a lookout for the enemy. Some of y'all thinking tonight, I got a woman in my church. I got a lot. We got about the same people, just different faces. We all got stuff going on. I got surgeries and had a lot of tragedies lately. I don't want to share all this with you, but I got them. I'll make a point. I got a woman in my church just lost her husband tragically. I'm not going to tell you how he died. He's 44 years old, 4 boys. Unexpectedly. Another guy in my church, 48 years old, died within 2 days because of ketoacidosis. And for all of us that don't understand the reason I know that, I was around the doctors. His body started attacking his own organs due to sugar diabetes. 48 years old. And he had his sugar under control. That. His wife struggling. Another man in my church, about 3 days after that one, he was murdered. And his family's a wondering, how in the world are they going to make it? Then I've got another family in my church got dealing with cancer. 2 or 3 different families. Dealing with all this stuff. And it's on their mind, can it ever be like it was? In your marriage, in your home, in your Christian life, in your walk with God, can it ever be like it used to be? No. But it can be better. It can be better. Now you say, preacher, how can it be better? I'm glad you asked the question. I'm going to give you 3 little things out of verse number 10. And then we're going to go get some bite to eat. The first thing they had to do there in that story was that they had to acknowledge their issue. I know it sounds simple, but I'm going to expound upon it in a moment. They had to acknowledge their issue. Until you acknowledge what your issue is, you can't never begin the journey of restoration. And once you acknowledge it, and that's what they've done, they said the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. In other words, they had acknowledged it, that they had a responsibility to do something about the issue in their life. I'm going to tell you a problem most of us, we want everybody to fix our problems. I'm going to tell you what keeps a lot of us from dealing with our stuff, too, is shame. Now, ain't many people want to say, well, my life's a mess. That's what they had to do. They had to admit and acknowledge that their life was a mess. The enemy had destroyed their former life as the way they knew it. They wasn't nothing but a bunch of junk and rubbish laying around. We want everybody to think, everything's all right. And we're okay. And it's okay, but you ain't never going to get no better until you acknowledge and put the finger on the issue in your life. You want it to be better than it was? Do something about it. Acknowledge what your issue is. You say, well, I ain't got an issue. Well, then you're a good liar. Do you love Jesus more today than you did yesterday? Is your relationship with the Lord stronger now than ever before? Is your marriage... I guarantee you, if we was asked to show a hand, hey, some of you marriages argued this evening. Oh, we put on a good show, though, don't we? Me and my wife are the best.
Right.
Y'all done got quiet. Some of y'all mad, getting ready to go get divorce papers tomorrow morning. Won't you acknowledge the issue in your life? What is it?
Yeah.
And usually, if you're pointing the finger at the other spouse, that's not who it is, it's you. Oh, yeah? We all have to work on things in our life, and we got to acknowledge it. And here's the thing. They all acknowledged that a lot of them had the same issue, and then they got in there and started helping each other. What about that? You mean they really tried to help? Here's the problem, Brother Ken. There's a lot of people you can try to help, but they don't want no help. You can show them how to lay block on a wall, but they ain't going to get up there and do it. But they're going to complain about their life being a mess.
Right. True.
So, God acknowledged. They acknowledged their issue. Number two, they had to admit their inability. So the strength of the bearer of the burdens. So that means there were some that were carrying more of a burden than others were. And said, now we ain't able to finish the wall. It's too much. It's too big a mess. That's what they're saying. Brother David, they said, this is too big a mess. We can't fix it. The burden's too great. And we've got people helping to carry the burden. I tell you right now, you know you've got a major problem when you've got more people helping you carry the burden. And it's about to kill them to tote your load. Most people don't care when you tote, as long as they don't feel the burden. So, you got to admit your inability. That you know what? I can't do it. I see it. I know the problem. My finger's on the problem. I got even people trying to help me. I can't do it. Then the third thing, this is my last point. The third thing they've done, number one, they acknowledged their issue. Number two, they admitted their inability. Number three, they approached their intercessor.
Yes. Good.
Who are they talking to in verse number 10? Nehemiah.
Yes.
And Judah said, the strength of the bearer of the burdens is decayed. So that there's much rubbish. We're not able to build a wall. You ever felt like throwing your hands up and quitting? Talk about a crowd. Now, let me go on and get just a little bit further. Even after they built these walls, now this was a miracle. God restored that thing in 52 days. So some of y'all are thinking, is it ever going to be like it was? No. But it can be better than it's ever been in a shorter amount of time than you ever thought possible. Huh? You think it can't get no better? Oh, yeah, friend, it can get better. You think, oh, my, maybe in 4, 5, 10 years. No, it can get better a whole lot quicker than you ever thought. But here's what happened. They got the walls built back. But guess what they delayed the building of? The temple. Because Haggai then was a prophet saying, it's time to build the Lord's house. He told them to consider their ways. Y'all ever read that? He said, you're putting your money in bags full of hoes. And he said, you're letting the house of God lie waste while you dwell in your sealed houses. You got all this. You're living it up there because why? Your walls is built back up. The mess is cleaned up. You're out of captivity. You're back in the place that God wants you to be, but you ain't where God really wants you to be because you're not at the place of worship, and the place of worship is suffering. You're just glad your mess is cleaned up and you're not a reproach anymore to the public eye, but you're letting your spiritual life struggle and you're not building the temple back so that you can get back right with God. There's a lot of people that's only concerned about how people look at their life externally. They could care less about their life spiritually. And you say, can it ever be like it was? No. But it can be better than it's ever been. Let's all stand to our feet tonight.